There's a message in tongues out there somewhere, hasn't come out yet. So we need that first, because it's important. Hallelujah. Whoever it is, don't be shy. You'll be blessed, and one person particularly is going to be blessed by it, because it's a word. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Russell, God says in this new year, He's going to open a door that you haven't considered yet, but it's not just going to happen automatically. You have to prepare yourself. You have to get ready. God will do the opening, but you have to do the going. You have to do the going through. You have to do the preparation. What I hear the Lord saying to me is you need to go back to past victories and gather them up and present them as a credential. This sounds like it's a marketplace thing. So, Father, we thank You for it. We encourage Russell in it to seek Your face, because You said if we would seek Your face, we'd want for no good thing. So, Father, we thank You for it, and we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Can you take it, Russell? Okay, praise the Lord. God is good. Good morning. I want to talk to you this morning about growing your faith for 2018. Growing your faith. And as I've looked back over the past 12 months in this sphere of reference that we have, I know it's been a tough year for some people. Some people have experienced perhaps the death of a loved one. In our family, there was members of the family who had passed away. Some people that I know of have suffered rejection. Other people have faced sickness and difficulties in their health. Some in relationships, difficulties and problems. And I'm thinking of even one family that was touched by violence, because there's violence happening all around the place. And it's always, for me personally, and I'm speaking personally, it's always difficult to appreciate how these things happen to people. But even in the midst of all of the things that are happening, I still have the Word of God. And that gives me an opportunity to use my faith to have love and joy and hope and peace, and the promise of a better year next year. And my prayer for 2018 has been this, that those of you who have experienced ashes in 2017 would experience beauty in 2018. In other words, God would exchange your ashes for beauty. But regardless of what's happening in your area or in mine, I'm expecting God to do some pretty amazing things. My prayer time has been gearing up toward some things, and as you read through your newsletter and that today, you'll see some things are happening, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But I was watching a video yesterday, and I just showed it to Naomi yesterday afternoon, and I'm just going to read some of it to you, because it touched my heart so much, this video. And it's a video that was put up online by a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Cliff in Texas. And this is a video by a man called R.W. Schambach. I wonder how many of you ever heard of him. He's an older preacher. He's from the 50s and 60s era. He died in 2012, went to be with the Lord. He was 86 years old. But on this video, which you can get on YouTube, he told a story about when he was being mentored by A.A. Allen. Now, A.A. Allen was a very prolific and experienced and anointed ministry back in the 40s and 50s. And this story, I think, is, if I remember, is from about 1957. And he was, Schambach was in a meeting, and someone had asked him about miracles. Could he tell something about some of the miracles that he'd experienced? And he began to tell this story about something that happened to A.A. Allen when he was being mentored by A.A. Allen. And this is basically what he said. It may not be word for word, but it's to the best of my recollection of it. He told a story about a baby that was born in Tennessee, born to this woman in Tennessee. And when the baby was born, it had 26 major defects, physical defects. It was born blind, was deaf, dumb is the word he used, unable to speak. Its tongue was just continually hanging out of its mouth. And all the problems included that it had no feet, it just had two stumps without any proper feet. Too many things really just to talk about this morning. But in the story, he tells about this woman who traveled from Tennessee to Alabama to a conference where A.A. Allen was speaking, and Schambach was being mentored and groomed by A.A. Allen in those days. And she told Schambach that she had spent all of her money staying in the hotel, eating in the restaurants, and at the end of the week she had $20 left and no one had prayed for her baby yet. And she said, if I don't get prayer for the baby today, I have to go home again. Schambach said, well, if the man of God doesn't pray for the baby, I'll personally take the baby to his caravan or to his trailer and I'll make him pray for it. But he said that A.A. Allen then began the service. And the first thing he did, he said, we're going to receive an offering. We're going to receive a faith offering. And of course, Schambach, he's sort of a bit disappointed in this, that he's talking about an offering when he ought to be praying for people. And as he takes up this offering, he says, it's going to be a faith offering because God wants you to give something that you can't afford to give. He says, that's what a faith offering is, when you give it when you can't afford it. If you give it when you can't afford it, it's not faith. And so they take up the offering, and the woman that had been speaking to Schambach, who had this baby, she was the first woman to come to the front of the auditorium and put her last $20 into the bucket. 3,000 people in the auditorium. They received the offering, and A.A. Allen began to minister. And as he began to minister, he stopped, put his hand across his mouth, and said, God is showing me a vision. He said, I see a white building. He said, I hear babies crying. It's a maternity hospital. He said, I see a group of doctors talking about a baby that is born with a number of problems. And the doctors are saying this baby is going to die within a year. And then he went on to say, the baby has 10 problems. No, 12, no, 14, 16, 18, no, 20, no, 26. The baby has 26 problems. Exactly what was happening. Then in this vision that he has, he goes on and he says, I see a lady packing her case and taking this baby with another lady, and they're getting in a car and they're in Tennessee. And I see them get in the car, and now I see them crossing the border, and I see the Alabama border. So they're coming into, in fact, he says, I see the car coming into this convention. The lady's in this convention with this baby right now. Bring the baby to me. Brought the baby to A.A. Allen. He took the baby in his arms. He just held the child up to God. Schambach, he, at this point, he says, I'm like you, I'm nosy, I want to know what's going on. He says, so I'm watching this baby, I'm not taking my eyes off this baby. He said, as I watched this baby, I saw God, these little milky eyes that were blind, suddenly they changed, and two bright blue eyes appeared in this baby's face. He said, the tongue that had been hanging out, the child is now 4 years old. The tongue that has been hanging out, he said, snapped back into its mouth. And it began to speak, never spoken before. Never seen, never spoken. He said, suddenly the arms and legs that had been all curled up, straightened out. He said, as I watched, He said, I'm watching this. He says, I saw this happen. He says, it's like God took some modeling clay and just made 2 feet and attached them to the stumps. He said, I saw it happen. And he goes through all these things, 26 things that happened to this little baby, suddenly all healed, restored. Now, when this happened, he said, A.A. Allen put the child down on the floor, 4 years old, on these new feet that had never walked, never talked, never seen, never heard. And the baby at 4 years old began crying, Mama, Mama, ran across the platform and jumped into its mother's arms. Now, when that happened, he said there were 12 people sitting over here in wheelchairs. All 12 of them at one time stood up, got out of the wheelchairs and walked. Nobody touched him. He goes on and tells more stories about what happened. People on stretchers just instantly healed. He said people who had hearing aids, he said in the day when hearing aids were like transistor radios, he said they were coming and throwing them on the platform. Glasses, spectacles, walking frames. God just moved in the place. 3,000 people in the conference, not one person left ill. Everyone who needed healing was healed by an act of God. Now, if you want to see it, just go to YouTube and look for A.A. Shambok telling this story of 26 miracles for the baby. Amazing stuff. And Naomi will tell you. I just sat there, tears running down my face. Just amazing stuff. But I want to talk to you today about the fact that I'm believing God that we can start and see miracles happen in this place. I want to see people get out of wheelchairs. We've seen it in the past. Naomi told you about Velma. I mean, we've seen 6 people raised from the dead. I've seen people who've been on walkers and in wheelchairs get up and walk. I'm thinking of one woman in Bendigo who had MS, multiple sclerosis, couldn't walk. And I remember speaking in this little group of people in Bendigo, got this woman by the hand and took her out of the wheelchair, got her walking around this room with me. And the outcome of that was that she was perfectly healed of multiple sclerosis. She went on, got a driving license, got married and had children. God is in the healing business, but we've got to develop our faith to believe that. I want to see this place full of people. I'm fed up preaching to empty seats. I want to see this place full. Now listen, you're the sheep. Sheep are the ones who have the lambs. The pastor doesn't have the lambs. As a sheep, I can produce. But you're the sheep. You have to produce the lambs. In other words, you've got to ask people to come. That's why we're starting these Thursday night meetings. You'll find out about that as we go through. We're starting first Thursday night monthly meeting, which is going to be outreach. We're going to be praying for the sick and doing all of those things. But turn in your Bible, if you were, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. It's on the screen for you, and this is what it says. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. The Message Bible says it like this. You need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not just only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why, it's only right that we give thanks. See, God starts us all off. Once you get born again, you have a measure of faith. God gives you a measure of faith. He doesn't give Ross more than he gave me. He doesn't give me more than he gave Margaret. He gives every one of us the same measure of faith. Then the measure of faith is the measure that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. You've already got raising from the dead faith. We have to learn to develop it. Too many Christians, you know, and I'm sure there's none of you here this morning like this, but there are too many Christians who are like the man in the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 25, where he talked about the talents, three different people. Now, one of the three took the talent that he got, he wrapped it up and buried it. Too many Christians are burying their faith. In other words, they're not using. But the two who used what they were given, they were commended, whereas the one who didn't use it, it was taken from him and he had nothing. So we need to develop and grow our faith. And your measure of faith can be increased, but you are the one who has to do the increasing. God doesn't increase your faith. That's entirely up to you. You have to spend the time. You have to do the homework. Do that. So my question to you now this morning is, do you have a plan to increase your faith and cause it to grow in 2018? Easy question, not so easy answer. Let me tell you about Norman. A lot of people make, at this time of year, coming up to the next couple of weeks, they'll be making New Year resolutions. Well, I'm not going to eat sugar anymore. I'm going to exercise every week. I'm going to all the things I'm gonna do, would never do. People sign up for gymnasium programs and do all of those things, and then after the first week, that's it. They forget about it. But see, I don't make New Year resolutions. This is Norman. What I do, I like to just spend time with the Lord. Usually over New Year, I'm not into celebrating the New Year coming in, you know, taking over all the fireworks and all of that. I've just spent some time in prayer, and I will be praying at that time. And my prayer will be, Lord, how can I grow more faith? How can I be more loving? How can I see miracles in 2018? What do I need to do? See, I'm intentionally setting some spiritual goals that prioritizes my relationship with God. And in my relationship with God being prioritized, then I'm also prioritizing my relationship with Elizabeth and the family and eventually with you and other people. You see, the thing is this. We have to have God first. He's got to be first. Look at Jeremiah number 9, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. This is what it says. Thus says the Lord, let no wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man in his riches. Interesting verse. See, God is saying to those who are wise and mighty and wealthy, not to glory in these things. Now, God's not saying that they're wrong. He's not saying they're bad things. He's not saying that we shouldn't have them. But he's saying, don't just glory in them. They're not your source. That's not where you get everything from. God names these natural things, wisdom and might and wealth. Next verse, 24 says, but let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for thee in these I delight, says the Lord. In these I delight. So we want to be people who are a delight for the Lord. So we don't delight in these worldly things. We delight in pleasing him. How do we please him? Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, how do we please him? So without faith, you can't please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who are going to diligently seek him. So we have to be God seekers. We have to be people who are going to spend time. If we're going to please God and be a delight to him, that means we're going to have to grow our faith. Now I'm going to share a couple of things with you this morning that's going to help you to increase your faith, how you're going to do it, and be blessed in it. So just make some notes if you want to. That'd be great. Just two things. Romans 10:17 tells us the key, of course, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to understand that verse, you need to know, number one, that you're saved, and that faith has already been deposited in your heart. When you got saved, you've already had it's part of your DNA. It's part of your God ness, if you like. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 then tells us this: "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you," okay, that's everyone in the church, he's talking to the church at Rome, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith." That is everyone among you, so everyone who's born again. And that, as I said, is the measure that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. So faith is something we already have, and it's our responsibility to develop it, to grow it, to get it to the stage where we can be using it to please God day by day by day. So let me give you two things. Number one, you grow your faith by reading and feeding on the Word of God. Number one, you grow your faith by reading and feeding on the Word of God. We have to spend time in God's Word. And I know, because I used to be like that too, that I'd come to church on Sunday and I'd have my Bible and it would look nice. And then when I'd go home, it would go on the shelf and I wouldn't lift it to next Sunday. That's not how it works. You need to spend time in this book. Your faith has to grow and be strengthened, because it's spiritual food. And it's absolutely essential that you have an understanding of the Word of God. It's absolutely essential that you have a complete and absolute reliance on the Word of God in faith. God's Word is the truth. I was thinking, as I was putting my notes together on this, I thought about people who are bodybuilders. When I was a young fellow and a young policeman, I used to go to the gymnasium with a guy who was, he wasn't a Mr. Ireland, but he was heading that way. He was very muscly. His name was Ross Henderson, and I used to train with him when I was a young fellow. And he could lift all these weights and do all these things. I could lift a little bit, but he could just lift these heavy weights. And he was only a little fellow, but he one of the things about him was this, that he used to drink these, I'd call them milkshakes, but a protein shake. He'd drink these shakes and he'd eat tuna fish. Now, apparently, if you drink these protein shakes and eat tuna fish, that's sort of the raw materials that gets into your body and that builds muscle mass. So if you want to be muscly, eat your tuna fish and drink up your protein shakes. He was a good fellow, but I remember him very well, because in the riots in Ireland, can I sidetrack for a second? We got time. In the riots in Ireland, we had what were known as armored cars. They were armored cars that bullets wouldn't penetrate. They were almost like a small tank. And there was a glass visor for the driver to see through, and the observer, you could see through just a little slit, really. It was supposed to be bulletproof glass. But we discovered somehow or other that it wasn't bulletproof. And somehow or other, Ross, this fellow I'm talking about, he was driving this, and I was the observer. And the glass little visor that he was looking through got broken, and someone threw a petrol bomb, and it hit the front of the thing, and the petrol all went through this broken glass and went all over his face. To cut a long story short, I ended up in hospital too, and when Elizabeth, she'll remember this, came to the hospital to see me, Ross is in this bed over here, and he's like the invisible man. He's all bandaged up, and so she thought that was me. And so she's gone. She asked her about it. She went to the wrong man. But anyway, here we are today. That's just a little story, by the way. The point I'm making is this, that people who build muscles, they eat the right food. If you want to build faith, you got to eat the right food. You got to read it and feed it. You got to spend time in it. Spend time in this book. Galatians 5 and verse 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith that works through love." Faith that worketh by love. See, once you start to build your faith, you'll find that your love comes up. Your love level comes up because faith operates only by love. It doesn't operate any other way. And so you'll find that people that you've had difficulty with, people that you can't stand, suddenly, oh, well, they're not really so bad after all. I've discovered that of late. There's some members of a family that I, you know, if I didn't see them again, it wouldn't have worried me too much. But this Christmas, I've just said, oh, well, they're not really too bad. You know, we can just... I can put up with them if they can put up with me. Anyway, so the second thing, that was number one, I had to read it and feed it. Number two is this, it grows by, listen to, heeding and seeding. Okay, now number one was reading and feeding. Number two is heeding and seeding. You have to heed the word. James chapter 1 talks about the fact that we have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So we have to heed it and seed it. What does that mean? That means put it into practice. In James chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, here's a well-known scripture. Most of you should know this. It says, is any among you suffering? This is the New King James. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Now, it's interesting if you look at that. It says, if you're going through a test or a trial, if you're suffering right now, it's saying you need to do something about it. The person who's suffering needs to pray. The person who's suffering needs to pray. What does that mean? That means use your faith. That means exercise your faith. That means God wants you to be trained up to the place where you are exercising your faith to get the results that you need without having to continually look to the pastor or someone else to help you. Because I'll tell you now, if you don't pray, your test will get more difficult. Now, God doesn't send the test, you know that. He says, let the one who is suffering pray. So, if you're having a tough time, can I suggest this? You need to mark in your schedule more prayer time. If you're struggling, you need to get your daily schedule. Well, I don't know what you do, but I work with a sheet that I have on my office desk, and I sort of highlight the things that I need to do, and I work down the list, and sometimes I don't get maybe half of them done. Well, they just go on to the next day, and you know, you just keep pushing them on until eventually they all get done. But one of the things that I've got in my list is pray. If you're struggling, you need to block out two areas for prayer, three or four, rather than just one. In other words, if you're having a hard time, start praying. Spend more time in prayer. Because if you don't pray, the test will become more difficult. When the devil raises the ante as far as your test is concerned, then you need to become more intense in your prayer. When the devil's making it more difficult, you need to say, okay, devil, I can defeat you. And you just go up more and more into prayer. Spend more time in prayer. And if you spent 2 hours in prayer in a day, it would do you the world of good. Just spend some more time in prayer. Then in verse 14, James 5:14, he says, is anyone among you sick? Interesting when you look at that. After the word sick, there's a question mark. Is any among you sick? Now, there may not be any among us sick today, and that's great. I'm happy about that. But it says, if there's any among you sick, you need to call the oversight of the church. It doesn't say call your husband, your wife, or you know, somebody down the street. It says call the oversight of the church. The oversight of the church will anoint you with oil. They'll pray the prayer of faith. Not just any old prayer. Not, oh, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord the sheep to keep. Not that kind of prayer. It's got to be a prayer of faith, a prayer that is touching the presence of God, a prayer that is going to bring heaven down, a prayer that is going to bring the healing that you need. And then he says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, you're all getting very serious. Don't fall asleep yet. I was reading a story yesterday, and this is a story about an older lady who was in hospital. And she was a Christian lady, and she was reading her Bible one day in the hospital when the doctor came on his rounds. And she said, "Oh, doctor, can you tell me how am I going? Because I've asked the nurses, and they won't tell me." Most nurses don't give that information out. That's up to the doctor to tell the patient how they're going. So the doctor, who also happened to be a Christian, noticed that she was reading her Bible, and he said, "Well, I suggest you read Hebrews 13:8. Now, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he was suggesting was that, well, there's no change. You're really just staying much the same. It's not a big change in what's happening. But she misheard him. And she read Hebrews 8:13. And this is what it says. "Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away." She didn't like that response. See, you have to hear from God. You have to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. And if you mishear, now I'm telling you, I'm being honest, and it's Christmas and I'm trying to be nice to you. The number of times when I go out there and listen to what some of you people say about what I said in here, and I said, "That's not what I said. You seem to hear different things to what I'm saying. Maybe it's me. Maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe I didn't make it clear enough." But we need to hear the word. We need to obey the word. We need to heed it and seed it. We need to put it into practice. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, thank you. Here we are. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. In the Message Bible, listen to this. It says, "So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in our lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious of your old sinful life that has been wiped off the books." See, like those three or four verses, if you would just write those out and put them on your refrigerator, or that changed your life forever. Just totally change. See, you don't have a past. It's already dealt with. People are spending time and money seeking education, seeking knowledge, and there's nothing wrong with knowledge. It's important. Nothing wrong with education. It's important. Other people are spending hours checking how many calories are in their food, and can I eat this and can I eat that, and they're going through all these, watching their diets. We want to be healthy and strong. Other people are so involved in get rich quick schemes, you know, like the latest thing is you do this and you do that and you can make $1 million in 3 days and all the rest of it. You know, people are just spending so much time. But you know what? Can you imagine what the body of Christ would be like if every member of the body of Christ, not just you here, but every member of the body of Christ would put as much effort into this as they're putting into these other things? Things would be different. Things would totally change. And when God says not to glory in these things, what he's saying is don't put your security in these things. That's not your answer. You build your faith by exercising it, by preparing your heart, by spending time. In Matthew 24, listen to this. Matthew 24 and verse 30, it says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, as you spend time and exercise and grow your faith, you're bringing Jesus nearer and nearer and nearer. Because he's coming back for a church that's perfect, without spot, without blemish, or without wrinkle. And he says in Luke 18 in verse 8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith in the earth? See, God is looking for you and for me to grow the faith that we've been given. To grow it so we can come to this place in this coming year, 2018, that we're actually doing something and not just treading water. Not just the same old, same old, same old. To be nice to you this morning, some of you are in exactly the same place you were last year. 2017 hasn't changed much for you. Still got the same problems, still got the same difficulties, still on the same level. You haven't grown spiritually. You have to change. See, I believe, now listen to this, 2018 is going to be great. Amen. Write it on your piece of paper. 2018 is going to be great. It's going to be the best year you've ever had. But in order for you to experience that, you're going to have to grow your faith. You're going to have to become what God wants you to be. You're going to have to just make some changes, make some adjustments. Some things you may have to let go. Other things you may have to get hold of. But you're just going to have to do it. If we're going to be what God wants us to be in this coming year, then we're all going to have to pull together. We're going to have to work together and do the things that he wants us to do. Now, will you take that this morning from me? Okay, praise the Lord. Russell, thank you. You want to come and receive our offering today? And then Naomi's got some things she's going to say afterwards.